everything's been put under Christ. Everything. Except the Father. There's a scripture that specifically says, except the Father. Everything was given under him and given for his leadership and his dominion. And it says, Ephesians 1 says, and he put all things under his feet, Ephesians 1:22, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So he put everything under Jesus. And then let's look at Colossians 1:16, just for an echo of that. Just a few pages over, depending on your Bible. And for by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And also, if you go back to Ephesians 1, or Ephesians 2, actually, you can see that in verse 6, I think that's what I had misnoted here. It had skipped the next chapter. So Ephesians 2, verse 6, he raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. And then he says, by grace you have been saved through faith. Then in verse 10 of Ephesians 2, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. But my point is, not only is he's above all things. He's above all things. And so I would title this message, Everything Under the Sun, S-O-N. And then specifically pertaining to healing, we're going to see a theme. And that's a quote, you know, we say that in the English language, that's actually a quote from Solomon. That's a quote from Solomon, that expression even. All these phrases, many phrases, especially in American and English colloquialism, is from the Bible. And we get these phrases from the Bible. And so I'd like to do a little study here. And if we don't get through it all, you can continue the study on your own. And it's that God went out of his way to speak through men, to write in the Bible, that every kind of disease and sickness, out of his way, he went out of his way to say it numerous times, he lists every kind of disease and sickness and places it all under Christ and all under our authority, every one. And there's not one named. And so we're going to go through these and just prove scripturally, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that that's what God intended. And it's pretty exciting. And if we go to Galatians 3:13, we're going to see something that opens up a whole door into every kind of sickness and disease that we have victory over in Christ, because we're in Christ and he's the head over all. So let's look at Galatians 3:13. Most of you know this, but Galatians 3:13, I mean this particular verse, of course. Galatians 3:13. Raise your hand when you're there, if you're turning there. Okay, Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. And the hangs on a tree we know is a reference to him being on the cross. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. And the curse of the law, as well as some of the blessings under the Old Testament law, are in Deuteronomy 28. So we're going to go over there and see everything listed out that Christ freed us from, because he freed us from the curse of the law. And there's a lot in there, like your donkey being violently taken away from you, that you probably haven't read before. And the King James says it even, you know, an expression that we don't use in church that often. It says, thine ass shall be violently taken away from thee. And I'd say, oh, that's really good for a dieter. That's really good for someone on a diet. You know, I thought that'd be a great expression for a woman who's trying to lose weight, or a man. Any of us who's trying to lose weight, I said, I'll receive that one. Anyway, that's stretching it. But it would work. It would work, you know. Sometimes if you have faith in it and God moves on you, you never know what'll work. And some of that, or what someone can believe out of there. Okay, so we'll go to Deuteronomy 28 and see what we've been freed from. And I'd like to point out again, for those of you just joining us, that the Bible specifically names every kind of sickness and disease so that we have boldness to approach God based on any of these that come up. Cancer is not big to God. Cancer has no big hold to God. But we view it, we rank Sickness is the common cold is probably low on our scale. A scratch or cut is probably low. But if you apply, we'll get to that at the end of this too, but if you apply the same principles to cancer as you do for a scratch or cut, you expect a cut to heal, don't you? You just assume it because it's small and it's little and your faith can go there easily. But God is not moved by the things. He's not moved by that. We look at a cut and we know, oh, in about a week that'll be gone. But how come we don't apply that to the more serious and the more grave words like cancer? How come we don't? But we're going to prove that Scripture does. Scripture does apply this to that. So let's look at Deuteronomy 28. I'll skip the blessing, even though that's a wonderful read. And it's very encouraging that under the Old Covenant, they had such a blessed promise. But for the sake of time, I'll skip that. And we'll start off. Let's look at chapter 28. We're assuming that Galatians 3:13, you guys know that, redeemed us from the curse of the law. This is the curse right here in Deuteronomy 28. We have it laid out. And I'm reading it in the NET Bible, New English Translation, just because, you know, it was easy for me to read and to grasp a little bit what these things mean. So verse 22 of chapter 28, I just highlighted certain ones. Other ones in here you may highlight. He will afflict you with weakness, fever, inflammation, infection. Remember, these are things we're delivered from. Fever, inflammation, infection, sword, blight, mildew. These will attack you until you perish. So we're delivered from weakness, from fever. Do you have any? Have you ever had fever or inflammation in your body? That's under the curse of the law. You're delivered from that. Infection, sword, blight. I don't know if sword was an expression that might have, I didn't study that out, or if he just means you're not going to have enemies against you constantly, you know, or that'll defeat you. And blight and mildew, these will attack you until you perish. And look at verse 27. I'll just skip down, because we know that God doesn't afflict us. That was a result of the curse. And there are different dispensations. Pastor Mary's taught on that. And you can study that out on your own. But we know that it opened the door, to say the least, to these things. Disobedience in God opened the door under the old covenant to these things. And now we're delivered from all these curses in Christ. So with tumors, eczema, and scabies, it doesn't sound good, all of which cannot be healed. And you know what I like to apply this to? All of which cannot be healed. Diseases that cannot be healed are under the curse. So specifically, he states, diseases that cannot be healed are under the curse. That means if a doctor tells you, there's no remedy for this, oh, that means that's under Deuteronomy 28. That's covered. As soon as you hear there's no remedy for this, that's covered. Because diseases that cannot be healed are covered. And look at verse 28. Madness, blindness, confusion of mind. Some people, I know there's a Christian friend of mine, and every time I'm with him, he mumbles about losing his mind, and he's like 50. And I think, would you stop saying that, please? And he's had a few accidents. He's done some work with me before, and he'll have some accidents and damage some equipment. I'm like, would you stop saying that? I really love you, and I want to see the best. But he's always, and he's young. He has a beautiful head of this thick gray hair and this wild mustache. But he's young. He's really young. But he keeps talking like he's already just way, way over the hill. And I'm not believing to lose my mind at any age. Moses certainly didn't. Abraham didn't, did he? No. So madness, blindness, confusion of mind. You will feel your way along at noon like the blind person does in darkness. Remember Nebuchadnezzar? He felt the curse of the law. Remember him stumbling around like a fool? And he lost his mind, but then he repented and God restored him. And that's a man outside the covenant of God. If it worked for Nebuchadnezzar, these principles certainly work for us. And then let's skip down to verse 32. Your sons and your daughters will be given to another people while you look on in vain all day. And that's just, I just threw that in there because there's something in there that's not necessarily healing, but there are a lot of things in there you might want to read and see, you know what, that's a curse. That's not a blessing to me. And I just threw that in there. Your sons and daughters are to marry godly spouses. They're not to be given to a people that don't know the Lord's name. They're not to be that. And that's under the curse. It's not a blessing to have them marry a non-believer and someone that doesn't know God. That's a hard marriage. I have plenty of in-laws going through that right now. That's a hard deal. But we're delivered from that. And your children are delivered from that. If we, you know, heed his voice, so to speak, but it's also under the redemption of Christ. So let's see, verse 33. You will be nothing but oppressed and crushed for the rest of your lives. You will go insane from seeing all of this. You know, just think about that a little bit. People that are, there's a lot of verses in here that'll say your hearts will fail you for fear. We're delivered from stroke and heart attack and worry and the diseases and the anxiety and that effect on our bodies. We're delivered from that. Look at that. In verse 35, he'll afflict you in your knees and on your legs with painful, incurable boils from the soles of your feet to the top of your head. If you've got joint trouble, this is verses for you. This verse is in there for you because the knees, the painful boils, blemishes on your skin, boils and things that outbreak on your skin that you can't be healed from. You see that once again. So that means that if we're delivered from this, you take the opposite of that from the top of your head, from the soles of your feet to the top of your head. And verse 41, there are other scriptures in Exodus that also say you're delivered from barrenness, but you could say in verse 41, your sons and daughters, you'll bear them, but you won't keep them because they'll be taken in captivity. And you could also stretch that and say you're not going to lose your sons and your daughters. You're not going to lose them to the world. You're not going to lose them. That's under the curse of the law. But I just throw that in there. I know it doesn't relate to healing. But and the foreigners who reside among you will become higher and higher over you. That's just an interesting thing, I thought. They will become the head and you will become the tail. You know, we see that somewhat here. Our culture's all embarrassed about its Christian roots and the people that come with a godless view, an atheist view, or an agnostic view. They've risen to power. We see that. That's under the curse. We were delivered from that. Jesus paid his life so that nations don't have to live under that oppression. Just a little side political note. But let's get verse 45. All these curses will fall on you, pursuing you and overtaking you until you are destroyed. Now we've been delivered from the curses that fall on us, pursue us, overtake us, and destroy us. That means that we're free from destruction. We're free from the pursuit and being hounded by things that don't relieve, by things that we see no relief from. We're freed from those things if we take Galatians 3:13 seriously. And from verse 48 says, hunger, thirst, nakedness, poverty, you'll serve your enemies, an iron yoke on your neck until you're destroyed. And a nation of stern appearance will overtake you. And let's skip down into verse 59. These are things we're all delivered from, according to Galatians 3:13. Look at verse 59 of Deuteronomy 28. The Lord will increase the punishments and those of your descendants, great and long-lasting afflictions, severe, enduring illnesses. We're delivered from severe, enduring illnesses. Illnesses should be, they should only be a mere temptation for us to give into. They should only be a mere symptom that we combat immediately with this scripture and with the truth of God's word. Enduring illnesses are not to be in the believer's life. They're not for us. We've been redeemed from them. I know it's easier said than done to persuade your mind sometimes and get that down on the inside of you. It's easier said than done. I know. I know we all have relatives that have suffered with cancer, stuff like that. Everybody knows someone. You know, people come out of woodwork to let you know. I've had a lot of people come with me, and now my kids and I, we're taking the opportunity to pray for as many as we can. If people are coming and sharing with me what their spouse is going through, or what their husband's dying of, or what their wife is dying of. But as believers, we're delivered. And I think if we don't believe it by ourselves, it'll be difficult to believe that Christ has done everything for them. So if you're not applying this to yourself, apply it to those on your workplace and those in your neighborhood that you want to see delivered from this. Apply this powerful principle that God lists every disease. He doesn't list them in order of severity, though he lists that for our sake because we see it as severe. We're enduring it, like the stuff that Job was afflicted with. That was severe and ugly. But he was delivered from it. The time came, and Job even cried, oh, that there were a deliverer. He was prophesying about the day when we had a deliverer, and now we have one. He said, oh, that there were a deliverer. Now we have one. Enduring illnesses. Enduring illnesses. There we have it again. Enduring illnesses. Diseases, the King James says, of long continuance. We're delivered from anything that endures. Anything that endures, we're delivered from that. A Christian doesn't have to walk with that. And infected with all the diseases of Egypt. I don't know what that includes. The Israelites sure did, though. They must have seen some nasty stuff. That you dreaded. See, the Israelites were scared when they looked at what the Egyptians were afflicted with. And they will persistently afflict you. We are not to be persistently afflicted by disease. We're not to be, because we're delivered from this persistent affliction of disease. We're delivered from persistent things. You know, there's some things in my genetically that I'm supposed to get, and my relatives have reminded me of that. And I have to take, and I see the symptoms coming up, and I have to look at it and go, no, I'm delivered from persistent illness. And that can mean persistent in your generations. It can mean persistent in your body. But we're delivered from persistent illness that carries on. There were some knee things, some joint things I'm not passing on to my sons. It was an ugly disease. My brother and I had it, and I don't want them growing through that. I'm not confessing that over them. We can take authority over these things. They will persistently afflict you. Thank God we're delivered from persistently afflicting diseases. And then we get the catch-all, verse 61. It's so exciting. Verse 61, every kind of sickness and plague not mentioned in this scroll. Hallelujah. Every kind of sickness and plague not mentioned in the scroll. This opens up the door to our imagination. You know, this opens up the door to future science discoveries. When they tell you, oh, guess what the latest? Mad cow. What was it? Mad cow. Then it went to the flesh-eating bacteria. Then they went to avian bird flu. They used to call that stuff like the Chinese flu because, you know, some of those nations where they live in squalor, it just runs rampant a little bit more than nations that practice hygiene. You know, I heard a story once about some soldiers in Afghanistan when the Soviets were there and over Afghanistan, and they found the Soviets adopted local customs, which were to use sand and dirt to wash themselves. So they would scrub their hands in sand and wash and use that sanitizer. Well, then some other military forces that came in there started using water, and the Soviets were afflicted with these awful diseases when they stayed in Afghanistan. Some of them left not from battle, but from diseases, and they couldn't stand the local. When soldiers came in who used water to clean, that went away. So it was a very basic principle, very basic principle. But I say that to say a lot of these diseases come out of nations that, by and large, they don't exalt God as a nation. You know, and I'm not, there are certain things nationally that happen that they're a little bit different than our personal life and what we can apply. That's just a side note. But let's see this, verse 65, an anxious heart, failing eyesight, and a spirit of despair. Your life will hang in doubt before you. Boy, this is like quoting people at work, isn't it? And hopefully we don't say these things, but I know we felt like it sometimes. You will be terrified by night and day. You have no certainty of surviving from one day to the next. In the morning you say, if only it were evening. And in the evening you say, I wish it were morning, because of the things you will fear and the things you will see. And in a lesser note, because this is more serious and dire than the thing I'm about to say, but in a lesser note, people say, oh, I can't wait for Friday. They dread what they're going through today. They dread. You can hear it in the voice. Oh, I can't wait for Friday. You know, and they just worship that day that's a break from their labors. And I don't, you know, I'm exaggerating a little bit. I don't hold that against them. We all enjoy our breaks. I'm not about that. But the desire to always be pursuing the next day, and being scared of the next thing or nervous. Oh, who's going to be president next? Oh, brother, what's going to happen next? Who's going to win the next election? That kind of stuff, that anxious and stuff, we shouldn't even waste time with that attitude. We should be concerned, you know, and be praying about it. But we don't have to carry concern and anxiety. We can let that stuff flow off of us. Oh, man, it's precious. It's precious. Do you know, even in Genesis, remember how God set up an angel to guard the tree of life? I'm going to back up a little bit. And even it was in his intent that they live forever. They ate from that tree of life, and whatever it did, they were going to live forever. And an angel guarded that tree of life so they wouldn't eat from it again, because they weren't intended to live forever now that they had been corrupted by sin. They weren't intended. But it's interesting that his point back then was provision, long life and healing, everlasting, even bodily. It's just neat that happened in Genesis. Even in Genesis, his desire was this pure health and beauty in the human body and the physical condition, this pure health that endures. And it just shows his intent, so I wanted to point that out. It shows God's intent for us. So everything science has yet to discover is subject to God's healing and power. It's all subject to it. And we read in Ephesians and Colossians how Christ is above all, and none of the diseases of Egypt. And Exodus 15:26, you can just write this down. I am the Lord that heals you. He made clear it's his nature. And Psalm 105 said, nor was any feeble among them. And it says, nor was any cause to stumble when he delivered the children of Israel. He proved. And that was a big mass. The men on foot, I don't know how many were riding horseback or camel or how many women or children there were. And that scripture specifically says it doesn't count children. Then the men on foot were 600,000. The men on foot that we know of were 600,000. And out of all those men, none was feeble. No one had a pain in their joint. No one tripped or stumbled. You see these videos of Egypt. Have you seen them cross the Red Sea in some of these films? And they're all, come on, old lady. Come on, old lady. Oh, you got to make it before the water. When is this water going to crash on us again? It's so fake. That's not the scriptural account. They weren't scared. They were marching to the other side. They probably didn't, they hardly had to hurry unless God told them to. And that was just so he could deliver them more quickly. It didn't have to do with their dread of the Egyptians. The Egyptians had to walk behind. They were in a fog of God's presence that protected the Israelites when they came down. They were in a fog of God's presence and didn't know what end was up. And the Israelites walked through on dry ground. And I don't think it was covered in stubble and flopping dead fish and things in their way. And their carts were bogged down. That happened in one movie I saw. The carts of the Israelite gets bogged down in the mud. And they have to, oh, come on, hurry. We don't know how long God's going to help us. You know, he might let this wall down. It's such a backward picture from the deliverance that actually occurred there. So praise God, we've got the word. We don't have the stupid images from Hollywood. You know, we have something more sure. And look in Psalm 103. I mean, we don't have to meditate on those ignorant, depictions. And I know if you're making a movie, it'd be the toughest thing in the world to show all of the glorious things that happened. It'd be really tough to get it accurate for any of us, being believers. So I'm not criticizing too sharply, but it's not stuff we need to meditate on and believe is true. So Psalm 103, he heals all your diseases, all of them. Oh, brother, I like that. Wow. You could just cry and just pour out your heart to God at a statement like that. Proverbs 3:8, especially if you get a bad diagnosis from the doctor. Proverbs 3:8 says, bones and flesh. He heals all your bones and flesh. Proverbs 4:22 says, health to all your flesh. All your flesh. I love declaring that, especially after Charles Capps shared it in that book, that I talk to my cells. You tell them what they're supposed to be doing. You know, there's supposed to be life in your cells. There's not that corruption working them. I mean, they'll age a little, but we don't have to believe that they're corrupted, and that there's ugly things working in them. And man, when we get in the New Testament, glory to God, he really lists this stuff out. I'm going to try to turn to, maybe we won't turn to each one of these, but if you want to write these down, if you're interested in just studying this for yourself, it's Matthew 4, 24 through 25, Mark 3, 9 through 11, and 14 through 15. He just lists out specific. I think it's so fascinating that he says infirmities, illnesses, evil spirits, blind. In Luke 7, 21 through 23, And I can, you can, if you want these, you can just come up to me after and we'll mention them. Matthew 11, 4 through 6. The proof that the Messiah had come in Matthew 11. I'll actually read that one out. Proof that the Messiah had come was that lepers, lame, deaf, and poor had the gospel preached to them and were delivered. Lepers, lame, deaf, and poor. In Luke 7, 21 through 23. I'm sorry, Matthew 11, 4 through 6. And in Luke 7, 21 through 23, he says, many people healed of infirmities, that's any weakness in your flesh, any sickness or illness, illnesses, evil spirits, blind, there's deliverance from. Matthew 9, 34, and Matthew 8, 17. Actually, you know what, Matthew 9, 35, I've got kind of a, you can write all those down, and you know what you could probably do is take a Strong's Concordance or Google all kinds of diseases, or Google every healing, and you'll see these accounts. And like I said, this man listed them. His name was Donald Calbreath, spelled like breath with a C-A-L in front. And I just found him on Google. He had just happened to list a lot of the miracles that Pastor Mary's been going through. And but let's look at Matthew 9, because I'd like to bring another point to light here. There's so many, and really the gist of it is it's all been covered. It's all been covered. Matthew 9:35, Jesus went throughout all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every kind of sickness and disease. There wasn't one There wasn't one present in Israel then that God didn't heal them from and that didn't see the bodily healing when they approached Jesus. There wasn't one. Every kind. God does not grade them. He doesn't see cancer as any different than the common cold or that scratch that's so easy for us to believe will heal, or that burn and that blister we get. And we know that'll be gone in a week, but do we apply that same just wisdom and expectation towards the big words and say, the healing power of God's so great? You know, how about if we meditated that way? Just think of that. You're sitting in your living room, you know, you got some report about cancer, some organ that's going bad. You think, you know what? The healing power of God's so great, that'll probably be gone in a day. No, it might be gone in an hour. I might wake up and we start to think about that. We start to open the door to a new way of thinking, because I guarantee you're delivered from it. I can guarantee that. If we take the word as the law, then we can guarantee we're delivered from it. That we know. And he goes specifically into every kind of sickness and disease. And Mark 3, 9 through 11 says, as many as had afflictions, as many as were afflicted were delivered. As many as were afflicted. Let's go to Matthew 15. I think, to me, these fulfill Deuteronomy 28 in almost a reverse way. Matthew 9:35, saying Jesus healed every sickness and every disease, that's the fulfillment of Deuteronomy 28:61. We talk about Galatians 3:13 fulfilling and bringing to bear Deuteronomy 28, but Matthew 9:35 fulfills Deuteronomy 28:61, that every kind of disease, anything that's not listed, he's fulfilling that in his earthly walk. So thank God the body of Christ is to walk in that fulfillment now. And Matthew 15, let's go there, Matthew 15, 29 through 31. When he left there, it says, Jesus went along the Sea of Galilee. Then he went up a mountain where he sat down. Then large crowds came to him, bringing with them the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others. They laid them at his feet, and he healed them. Hallelujah. As a result, the crowd was amazed when they saw the mute speaking, the crippled healthy. See, because you might think, he healed them, but it doesn't technically say he healed them all. So then later you see they take each adjective that he said, the mute speaking, the crippled healthy, the lame walking, the blind seeing, and they praise the God of Israel. And it goes through every disease that was common to people then. And so it just lays out really clearly that every disease that's common to man. And then I've just got an illustration on my heart that I just felt led to share that'll kind of wrap this up. When I was in high school, it was the, you know, late 80s I started, but the 80s had shaped me, and that had shaped my view of things. So I was a little scrawny kid with big, huge glasses. I called them like owl eyes, you know. And all my family, we all had these big, huge glasses and stuff. Since then, I had contact surgery, and I don't have to wear them anymore. Even that's you're believing God for healing after the stuff they do to you in some of those surgeries. But they had... But my impression of a young man, you know, of myself and that was, I'm skinny, I'm gonna work out. And that was a big thing in the 80s, getting big physically. And the best way you can do that is have a spot. And those of you that don't aren't into, like, haven't heard or never bodybuild or anything, a spot sits there, and when you're weak, he takes the weight up a little bit. But it makes you work a lot harder. A spot is there to increase the weights you do. That's what he's there for. A bad spot is one that you're starting to go, and you're like, I think I got this, like you're bench pressing, and he stands over you, and then he helps you take the maximum weight you can at the time. Then your body repairs your muscles, and then the next time you work out, that muscle is stronger, preferably, unless you over tear it. But you keep doing that, you know, and I know Jed knows that. But they don't use spots as much in workouts now. They don't do that as much in these days because the goals are different. But when your goal is strength and size, the best thing you can do is take the maximum weight that you can during that spot session. And it's really bad when a spot grabs it too early, because you're like, you let me cheat. Who's gonna make me work hard? Who's gonna make me take this weight? Who's gonna make me? And I'm going somewhere with this. Bear with me a little bit there. And his goal is to add weight. You come on, Josh. You can take more than that. And he lays on just 10 more. Come on. You can take more than that. Come on. And he won't spot until he knows I really can't move it. And he'll look down at me and I'll be shaking my head. No, I got this. You know, don't let me. And that's why you'll hear these guys yelling in the weight room. They don't allow it in the yuppie clubs anymore. But if you go to a guy where they're still, their goal is size and strength, you'll hear men screaming. And that's what they just yelling, you know. And they don't, my club says no grunts. The club I went to more recently, they don't want guys doing that. And I noticed that nobody spots each other. So I'd ask a guy, hey man, will you spot me? And they look at me like, first they have to take their earbuds out, of course. Because yeah. I'm in my own world, man. I'm just rocking it. Yeah, yeah. I'm getting lean. It's like, you know, that wasn't my goal in high school. But if you want size and strength, the best thing to do is to have that spot. And he lifts it just the right time. But he's adding weight. He's adding weight to you. And he's causing you to bear more. He's making you work harder. But he doesn't take responsibility. He just kind of cheers you. Now I'm going to make a little comparison. It's actually going to be a contrast. Our faith walk is your spotter can be like God. This analogy might not work out too well, but I'm going to contrast that. He carried your pains and sicknesses. With God in our faith walk to get stronger, we're supposed to lay more weights off. We're supposed to do the opposite. We're not supposed to bear more. He bore it already. You know, he bore it already. We're not supposed to take more anxiety, more stress, more care about the future. We're not supposed to receive what this world has for us. Our spot is telling us, Jesus took it. Galatians 3:13, Deuteronomy 28, Deuteronomy 28, Psalm 103. You don't have to do this, Josh. You know, you don't have to do this. You don't have to do this. I already put it on him. I already put it on the biggest, the strongest, the best that the universe would ever produce. I already put it on Christ. You don't have to do this. It's the exact opposite. It's the exact opposite from a man trying to earn his strength and trying to build himself. It's the exact opposite in our faith walk. Then we just need to receive what Christ has done. So he's cheering us on. But he wants us to walk more free from all this stuff. But we've got to be convinced about it. And that's what we laid out here, is the scriptural argument to convince us all of it.